In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, and then after that, we'll be reading Hebrews 11, verse 20. Genesis chapter 27, and I'll be reading the whole chapter. When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son?" "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of the game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you a heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from the hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? Has he deceived me these two times? He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I made him lord over you and have made all of his relatives his friends, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to him, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told about what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living with these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." Then I would like to read from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll be reading verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. We have been learning about the patriarchs in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the patriarchs of the Old Testament who had great faith. We have learned about Abel and how Abel offered a better offering than what Cain offered. We have looked at the faith of Enoch who walked with God and was taken from this earth and did not die. We have looked at the faith of Noah, who built an ark for the Lord and who was rescued from the flood. We have looked at the faith of Abraham, who left his foreign country, or his country, which later became his foreign country, and lived as a sojourner his whole life. We have looked at Abraham and how, even though he was past the age of childbearing with his wife Sarah, he still had a son. And last week we saw how Abraham, who was told to offer his son Isaac, went forth and was ready to stab his son Isaac and to kill him because he believed God could raise him from the dead. All of these outstanding people in the history of redemption that God has given testimonies of their faith. Now we come to Isaac. And what is said about Isaac in Hebrews chapter 11 is a lot smaller than what's been said about all the other people so far. One verse. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Of all the events in Isaac's life that the author of Hebrews could have pointed out about his great faith, the author of Hebrews points to this event. He doesn't mention how Isaac did not complain to his father Abraham when he put him on the altar. He does not mention about how Isaac, by faith, believed that God would provide a wife for him in Rebekah, who they found at the well, and the servant who found him brought her back, and he married her by faith. None of those events in Isaac's life are mentioned. The only thing about Isaac that the author of Hebrews commends him for in his faith is that by faith he blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. We have just read this story in the book of Genesis. And as you have looked at this story and as you read it, if you were like me, you probably heard the story and thought, Isaac sure did not demonstrate faith in that story. Isaac did not want to bless Jacob. Isaac clearly wanted to bless Esau. In fact, he so clearly wanted to bless Esau that his own wife, Rebekah, has to put goat's hair on Jacob's arms. She has to go in there. Jacob has to lie to finally receive the blessing. Yet the author of Hebrews commends Isaac for the faith he demonstrated in how he blessed Jacob and Esau. Notice the order. He mentions Jacob first and Esau second in regards to their future. How do we explain this? Well, we know one thing is true, that this is God's word. This is God's infallible and inerrant word, which is right and true. God's word does not contradict itself. What the author of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews 11, verse 20, is true. Isaac did demonstrate faith. But still, how do we explain it? Let's take a closer look at Isaac. Isaac was the middle child. When we read in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament about Isaac, we read him stuck in the middle between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we think of the Old Testament, we think of the great faith of Abraham. We think of how Jacob was the father of 12 sons who later on went into the land of Egypt and who came out and became the 12 tribes of Israel. We read a lot about Abraham and his faith. We read a lot about Jacob and what he did. Not much is mentioned about Isaac. He is the middle child. In the book of Genesis, there are 11 chapters devoted to Abraham. In the book of Genesis, there are 11 chapters devoted to Jacob. And some people even, you could even go further and say parts of up to 12 chapters, parts of other chapters are about Jacob. There are 5 chapters devoted to Isaac. There is nothing in the life of Isaac which is extraordinary. Abraham demonstrates great faith. We've just read about all the different things Abraham did in the book of Hebrews that he was commended for. Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob goes and does lots of incredible things in his life in serving his father Laban, in marrying his 2 wives and so forth. Jacob is a much more talked about person in the book of Genesis. Isaac does nothing extraordinary. Someone finds Isaac's wife for him. He doesn't even find his own. Isaac lives off his father's wealth. Isaac did nothing to acquire all the wealth that he lived in and all the fruitfulness of the blessing that Abraham had received because of his faith. Isaac simply inherits it. When Isaac is threatened by enemies around him, Isaac moves. When Isaac is threatened by people and people are threatening him, he doesn't fight. He moves away. Isaac is a peacemaker. Isaac, as the middle child, Isaac who did nothing tremendously great in his life, is an ordinary person. We can identify with Isaac. Isaac is not an outstanding person. He falls in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Isaac in his life did nothing tremendous, is not known for a tremendous way in which he helped the Lord or being a tremendous Christian. Isaac falls in the covenant line. He is a middle child. We can identify. But when we look at the life of Isaac and all the things that he did, There's one thing that stands out that the author of Hebrews has picked up on. One thing that Isaac, as the ordinary child, has done with is that Isaac struggled with the sovereignty of God in his life. Isaac struggled with the way that God was working out his life. And sometimes when Isaac lived his life and God, through his sovereign hand, did something to Isaac, Isaac responded in faith. And sometimes when God intervened and something didn't go Isaac's way, Isaac struggled with God's sovereignty as to whether that is the way it should have gone. A couple examples. Go back to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. In Genesis 25, verse 21, Isaac and Rebekah have been trying to have a child. They waited many, many years, 20-some years, before they could have a child. They weren't having a child. And so what does Isaac do in Genesis 25, verse 21? Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. Isaac sees that his wife isn't having a child, so Isaac prays. He prays to his sovereign God that she will have a child, and God answers his prayer, and Rebekah becomes pregnant, and she has twins, as the story goes. Isaac struggles with the sovereignty of God. He prays to God. God gives him his children, and Isaac is content with the sovereignty of God. But look what happens in chapter 26, and I'm not going to read the story. But what happens in chapter 26 is Isaac, is the land is going through a famine. And Isaac doesn't know where to go to feed his flocks. And so he ends up living near the Philistines, near a king named Abimelech. And what does Isaac do? He thinks that his wife, Rebekah, is so beautiful that the king, Abimelech, is going to take his wife and kill him. So he says to Abimelech that Rebekah is not my wife, but she is my sister. Isaac does not demonstrate his confidence in the sovereignty of God. Isaac is the chosen line. Rebekah, his wife, is the line. She is to give birth to the future of God's covenant, to the covenant children that will carry on to the salvation that will come through Christ. But Isaac does not believe that if God puts him next to this place, next to this king, that God will protect him, that God will protect his covenant line. And so Isaac intervenes on his own and he says, "She is my sister." He lies. Do you see the struggle of Isaac's life? He struggles with God's sovereignty in his life. Sometimes God, when he prays, God gives him what he wants, and Isaac is a man of faith. But other times when there are things in his life which come about, which God is putting him through, that is help, that is causing him to struggle and to really put his faith in God, Isaac fails. We can identify with that, can't we? How many times don't we demonstrate faith when there's something in our life and we pray about it, and then God gives us and grants us what we desire or what we've prayed for? And we say, wow, we are demonstrating faith. But there are other times when God has put us through things in our life, difficult situations, things in which we are caused to really begin to trust God, and we doubt, and we do as Isaac, and try to find a way out. This is the story of Isaac, an ordinary person struggling with the sovereignty of God. Well, chapter 27 is a perfect example of Isaac's struggle. But first go back to verse 25, Because Isaac in chapter 27 is about to give the blessing. He is about to give the blessing to both of his sons, the story we have just read. But God in chapter 25 gives explicit instructions of how Isaac is to bless these two sons. Chapter 25, verse 22, it says, "The babies jostled to each other within her, and she said, 'Why is this happening to me?' So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger.'" Even before these babies are born, God has said about these two sons that two nations are in her womb, that they will be separated, they will be split apart, they won't be getting along very well, and one of the people, one of the nations, will be stronger than the other. And which one will be stronger? The older, it says, will serve the younger. Isaac knows this command. And not only does Isaac know this command, but what also has Isaac, does Isaac know? Chapter 26, verse 34. Chapter 26, verse 34. It's the last thing that is said about Esau right before Isaac gives the blessing. It says, "When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah." Esau in his life does not demonstrate confidence in God's promise, confidence in the same promise that Isaac and Abraham had their faith in. Esau has no concern about the covenant line, that he needs to marry a wife which will be part of the covenant line, which will believe in God, which will believe in the future coming of Christ and of God's deliverance from sin. Esau goes and he marries Hittite women, pagan women, and it says they are a source of grief to both his father and his mother. But there is no stopping Isaac, is there? Because Isaac loves Esau. And so in chapter 27, it tells us, verse 1, "When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and he said to him, 'My son.' 'Here I am,' he answered. Isaac said, 'I know now, I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me so that I may give you my blessing before I die.'" What's happening here? Isaac knows that Jacob is to receive the greater blessing. Isaac knows that Esau, who has thrown off his birthright, Esau, who has married Hittite women, has no concern for God's covenant or the future generation that is going to come and be a great nation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac, knowing all these things, still says, "Esau, go bring me the wild game. You are my favorite son. You are my oldest son. According to the law and the customs of the day, as my oldest son, you are to receive the blessing. Go get the food, and I will give you my blessing." In fact, so certain is Isaac that he wants to give this blessing to Esau, that look what happens. Look what he says, and look what happens when he dialogues with Jacob when he comes to him. We know the story. Rebecca has overheard. She's put the fur on, or the sheepskin on him. She has prepared the meal. And look what happens in verse 20. Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success." Isaac first questions whether this is really Esau. Isaac is going to be certain that this is Esau and not Jacob. And so his first question he asks, "How come you found it so quickly?" And Jacob has an answer. "The Lord your God helped me." Well, Isaac still doesn't believe it. He still doesn't believe that this is Esau. So he asked him further, verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he blessed him. Isaac questions whether Jacob is Esau two times. Both times, Jacob meets the test. Well, finally, after two times, he asks him one more time, verse 24. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Isaac is so certain that he wants to give this blessing to Esau, three times he questions whether Jacob is really Esau. Now, do you see what's going on in Isaac's mind here? There is no doubt in this chapter, in this portion of Scripture, that Isaac wants to give the blessing to Esau, contrary to God's word, contrary to what he knows is right, contrary to God's covenant plan for the future of the entire world. Isaac is still going to give that blessing to Esau because Esau is his favorite son. And so he blesses him. And look at the blessing he gives. Verse 27, halfway through there. "As the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed, may God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed." Isaac gives Jacob the greater blessing. Jacob will receive the land, the promise of the land, as it says, the heaven's dew, earth's riches, abundance of grain and new wine. He will live in a rich land. Other nations are going to serve this son that he blessed. All the nations are going to bow to this son. He will rule over his brothers. His own brother will bow down to him, and the whole world will be blessed through this son, through this part of the covenant line. Clearly, Isaac has given the greater blessing to this son. But now what happens? Jacob has left. He has been blessed. And in verse 32, it tells us that Esau comes in the room. Actually, verse 31, I'm sorry. "My father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." And Isaac trembled violently. And he said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before I came. You came and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." Isaac realizes God's sovereignty. God had a different plan than what Isaac had planned. Isaac was bound and determined to give this blessing to Esau. And when Isaac realizes that that is not what happened, how does he react? He trembles violently at what God has done. He realizes he has not done what his plan was, but the promise that God gave when these two boys were born has been true. And he goes further in verse 35. "But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing.'" Do you see Isaac's reaction? Isaac is an ordinary man. Isaac has faithfully at times in his life gone with God's sovereignty. Isaac at other times in his life has struggled with God's sovereignty. Now in this passage, Isaac is facing God's sovereignty. He has tried to do something else, and God has changed the plan of his life. Isaac has trembled violently in reaction to this of what has happened. But how does Isaac respond? He, in faith, gives Esau his blessing. Look what he says in verse 39. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Your dwelling, he says to him, will be away from the promise, away from earth's riches, the riches I gave to your brother. You will be away from the dew of heaven above and the blessings of heaven which will come down. You will serve your brother, and he says, you will fight your brother. God has said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Isaac thought in his mind, Esau have I loved, Jacob I do not love as much as I love Esau. God has changed the plan. He has reversed the order in the plan that Isaac had for his life and for his sons and for the future. And how does Isaac respond? By faith, it says in Hebrews 11, he blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. Isaac does not respond and say, Lord, I had it planned another way. Lord, how come you did it this way? This is the way I wanted it to go. Isaac doesn't punish Jacob for what he has done, for his deceiving him. He doesn't call down a curse upon Jacob as Jacob feared. Isaac realizes that God has made his choice and that what has happened in the reversal of both of them is what God has planned. He gives Esau his blessing. And what does he do in chapter 28? So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing of Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land that God gave to Abraham. Isaac, in chapter 28, blesses Jacob in faith. He gives him the blessing that he wanted to give to Esau. He realizes that God has changed the plan, and he includes the language in the blessing to Jacob, that he will be blessed as God blessed his father Abraham. This is the faith of Hebrews 11 that our author is referring to. Isaac is commended for his faith. Why? Because he always trusted in God's sovereignty. Because he was always happy with the way that God worked out his life and all the situations that God put him through? No. But Isaac is commended for his faith, that even though God has switched things on him, that God in his sovereignty has changed his life at various points, and specifically at this point, he repents of his sin and says, God, you are right. This is your sovereignty, God. This is what you have done. This is your choice. I will bless my sons according to your choice as regards to their future. Isaac is an ordinary person. He is an ordinary person fit in the line between Abraham and Jacob. Isaac is like us. He struggles with God's sovereignty. But when Isaac is faced with God's sovereignty, when God radically changes his life the way that Isaac had planned it out and the way that God or that Isaac had wanted it to go, how does Isaac respond? Does he respond in a bitter, unhappy way? Isaac responds in faith. That is what Isaac is commended for in Hebrews chapter 11. But not everyone in this chapter, in Genesis 27, responds with faith. Look how Esau responds to God's sovereignty in his life. Verse 34. When Isaac heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. Then in verse 36 he says, isn't he rightly named Jacob? Has he deceived me these two times? He took my birthright and now he has taken my blessing. Then he asked him, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? When Esau responds to God's sovereignty, Esau responds with a loud cry. The text describes it as a bitter cry to what God has done in his life. And Esau begins to trash his brother. This is the brother of the covenant line. This is the brother that through this line, through Jacob, whose name later becomes Israel, who later becomes the nation of Israel, who later brings the Lord Jesus Christ down to this earth to bring salvation to this world. This is God's sovereign choice. And how does Esau respond to God's sovereign choice? He hates God's sovereign choice. In fact, he hates God's choice so much that what does he say in verse 41? Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Esau hates God's sovereignty so much. Esau hates God's plan for this world and for the redemption of all of us from our sins. He hates it so much that he wants to kill God's sovereign choice. You see, Esau does not want the blessing for the hope of a future. He's married Hittite women. Esau, when confronted about his birthright, gives it over for a pot of soup. Esau has no hope in the future plan of God's salvation that he will bring through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and for the future. Esau wants the blessing for one reason. He wants it for himself on this earth. Esau wants the wealth. Esau wants the animals. Esau wants to be blessed on this earth. That is the only reason he wants it to go his way. And when confronted, when the promise was made at the beginning, and when Esau is confronted, how does he respond to God's sovereignty? Esau should look to his brother and he should go to his brother and say, you are God's sovereign choice. You are the blessing for this world. Instead, Esau hates his brother. He only thinks of himself and the things that he is going to miss. And he cries out with a bitter cry to God and to his father. Do you see the contrast in our chapter? Isaac in Hebrews 11 is commended for his faith. Why? He struggled with God's sovereignty. He tried to do his life a different way, but when faced with God's change of plans, he believes it by faith in God and his hand throughout his life. Esau, who is not part of the covenant line, who could care less about the covenant line and the promise that God has of salvation through Christ and through his brother in the covenant line, Esau responds bitterly. Esau responds in a way which demonstrates that he hates what God has done so much that he wants to kill God's covenant line. This story is one that we can identify with. We are ordinary people. God has given us a greater son than the son of Isaac. He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, who has came. He has died on the cross. He has been raised again. He is our Lord and our Savior. We, as ordinary people, struggle with God's sovereignty in our life. How many times haven't we prayed for something and God gave us what we prayed for, just as God gave Isaac his two sons? How many times haven't we tried to plan out our life or do something the way we planned it because we thought it would be best? How many times haven't we had our favorite thing that we want to have done as Isaac tried to bless Esau, and God radically changes what we had planned and what we wanted? How many of us haven't trembled violently as Isaac trembled violently at God's sovereignty when God worked it out in his own way? Yes, Rebekah sinned. Yes, Jacob sinned. But this was God's sovereign choice. How do we respond? Do we respond to God with the faith of Isaac? The faith of Isaac that even though God has put us through things, even though God in His sovereignty has brought us to a place in our life where we're going through the situation we are we responding with, Lord, this is Your choice. This is what You have done. Oh yes, I don't understand it. Oh yes, Lord, I wish I would have gone different in my own human understanding. Oh yes, I'm trembling violently because I wanted it to go this way. But after we go through all of that, Isaac responds and says, Lord, this is Your choice. I will bless my sons as You have said. Do we respond that way? Lord, You've shaken me up. Lord, You've put me through all that, but this was Your plan. You've done this to me for a reason. I trust You. I have faith in Your greater Son, Christ, who has died for me. Faith in the covenant line that He has saved me, that what He has put me through is for my own good, and that I trust You. Or do we respond like Esau? He's weeping at what God has done. He cries out a loud and bitter cry about the sovereignty of God and what He has gone through. He hates God's Son. Jesus, You've put me through this. Jesus, You didn't work this out the way that I wanted it to. I hate You. People say that. People say that because they think like Esau. They think Esau, who says, I can only think of myself. I can only think of my earthly life. And my earthly life here tells me that since I didn't get this blessing, I'm not going to receive the things and the inheritance and the blessings here on earth that I want. And because of that, I hate God's plan. Isaac sees beyond. He sees the hope of a future. Isaac sees that God in His sovereignty is working out his life. And even though he doesn't understand it, even though he doesn't make sense, he believes that God knows what is best. Where are you this morning? The author of Hebrews is calling you to respond to God's sovereignty as Isaac did. Yes, he got mixed up. But when he knew God's plan, he blessed his sons in faith appropriately. He's calling you to have faith in God's Son, faith in Jesus who knows what is best for you, who is directing your life, you who are ordinary people as Isaac was. Don't be like Esau, is the call of Hebrews 11. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the way that You work in our lives. And Lord, we look, as Isaac did, to the covenant line that You have given. We look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us from our sins, who has rescued us from bondage of this world to bring us to life in you and a future hope in heaven. And Lord, as we look at Isaac and the way he responded in his life to you, we see ourselves, Lord. We see how we, from time to time, trust you and what you have done in our life. But at other times, we respond violently, Lord. We do not know and understand why you had planned it out different than we did. Lord, help us to submit as Isaac did. Help us to respond in faith to your sovereign choices for our life. For you are directing us. You know what is best. And we have faith in the covenant line as Isaac did. Faith in Christ who has saved us. Lord, help us to live this way. Help us, Lord, not to respond as Esau. For Esau demonstrated no love for Christ. No love for your work in this life, but only love for